Hello, this is Hugh Baird, and I'm your moderator for this evening's discussion. I'm here with State Senator Anthony Williams, and we want to welcome you to this live telephone town hall. If you have a question for Senator Williams or any of his guests this evening, you can press star 3, that's star 3 on your phone's keypad, if you have a question for Senator Williams or any of his guests. Now I'd like to welcome Senator Anthony Williams.
Good evening, and good evening to all the listeners. We are started with 100 some odd folks. We're up to about 500 people so far, and we expect that we will probably end up with our normal attendees of about 1,500 to 2,000 people. Some of you all have been through this before, and as you well know, there will be literally hundreds of you who want to have questions, which are really important with regard to public education within our community, and we're grateful that you're on tonight. We are really, really impressed with the fact that we have three distinguished superintendents who, through this very busy time, have taken the time to answer and respond to questions and concerns you have for about an hour, and we will do that as quickly as possible. I will tell our listeners, as you pose a question, please make it a question and make it as quick as possible, because there's somebody behind you who is waiting to have a question answered to you. For those who need to be reminded, we are still in a stay-at-home order in Pennsylvania. The governor has a three-tier approach across Pennsylvania as we talk tonight, red, yellow, and green. Green being the ultimate, totally open, yellow being with certain guidelines, and red being closed. For those of us who are in southeastern Pennsylvania, we're still in the red mode. That means schools will be closed till the end of the year and, I guess, open at some point in time next year. Those details, I'm not quite clear on. I'm not sure the superintendents are either. As further, businesses as well are still closed. There have been a few modifications to that, and you know, golf courses, which are socially distanced, parks, which are socially distanced, and other places where you can go outside and get fresh air. But they are all to be done with social distancing. If they are not complied with, we will close them and be forced to close them again. There's continuing discussions about businesses in Philadelphia. And in particular, we will circle back to small business in Philadelphia that has been closed for some time that needs the support of all of us from our communities to remain open. But with that, I will transition to the subject of the night, and that is public education and our area. And for all of us who are parents, all of us who are students, all of us who are teachers, all of us who are employees within those buildings, all of us who are concerned about the future of our country and the present state, know we depend significantly upon public education to do that. And we have three extraordinary superintendents who have done a wonderful job under extremely challenging circumstances to provide the best they can. I want to assure you that there will not be a perfect answer tonight because they don't have perfect solutions to some challenges. So to the extent that we know that, let's try to respond and ask what is the best that we can do with the constraints that we will have. I have the superintendent from Philadelphia, the superintendent from William Penn, and superintendent from Southeast Delco. And let's go in that order that I just happened to say off the top of my head. So please, the superintendent from Philadelphia, please introduce yourself to our audience and a little bit about your background and anything you'd like to share within the first 2 to 3 minutes. Thank you. Dr. Height.
Thank you, Senator Williams, and glad to be with you and my colleagues from the other two school districts, Southeast Delco and William Penn. And thanks to all of your constituents who have called in to get information, not just tonight, but on multiple nights. I'm in my 8th year as superintendent in the School District of Philadelphia. And it's ironic because we're entering the 8th week of schools being closed. None of us has experienced, to your point, anything like this before, so we thank everyone for their patience and for their flexibility during this time. And we know that our families are struggling, students are struggling, our educators are struggling, and so there are lots of us who are struggling together. But it's through that struggle that we'll come out with something much stronger. Today we in Philadelphia officially begin what we call planned instruction, which is the introduction of new content. It's led by a teacher and it's accompanied by attendance and in some grades, although the grades are meant to enhance, not punish young people. This comes after a few weeks of what we call enrichment and review of previously learned concepts and learning guides made available to students. We've also made Chromebooks available to students who need them. We've distributed more than 80,000 so far. We currently have 2 technology centers for pickup and repair. Any families who are interested in information about that please go to philasd.org/digital-learning for more information. We've also been looking at how we holistically support students through this process. And as of today, we've distributed more than 1.5 million meals. We have social and emotional supports and access to counselors. And we are in the midst of planning for virtual graduation for opportunities for our young people. In addition to that, we've been undertaking some maintenance projects to deal with asbestos, to deal with lead, to deal with some schools that were under new construction. We can't say for sure what the next school year will look like, but we'll continue to work with the city, the health department, the state, our delegation in Harrisburg, a delegation in Washington, D.C., to ensure that all of our children are going to be exposed to healthy environments when they return. You can stay up to date on all of the things that are happening in Philadelphia. Our website is at philasd.org. You can follow us or any of our social media sites, Twitter at PHL Schools, or Facebook, facebook.com/Philly Schools. And on that point, I do a Facebook Live session just to give more information out every Wednesday at 3 p.m.
Thank you, Dr. Height. Doc, William Penn, Superintendent from William.
Thank you, Senator. Just like many of the other districts, we are experiencing very similar problems. You know, one of the things that I have said frequently during this time is that overnight we went from brick-and-mortar, face-to-face instruction, to cyber and online learning. Within a short amount of time, teachers, you know, had to learn how to post assignments on Google Classroom, set up Zoom meetings, and struggle with how they're going to teach new materials virtually to their students. Our parents became teachers and playmates during recess. And, of course, online learning means students must have devices and Internet access. We determined within our first survey that out of 5,000 students in the William Penn School District, 2,232 responded that they needed a device. That means that approximately 2,000 students did not communicate to us regarding their needs, and that was a struggle for us. Prior to this pandemic, William Penn had approximately 3,100 Chromebook devices. If William Penn School District had to provide a device for each student, we would have been about 2,000 devices short. We're also very aware when it comes time to collect these devices back in June, we will not get all 2,200 back, or if they come back, whether they'll be in working order or not. As a district, going forward, we need to strive to be one-to-one. That is our goal in order for us to meet the needs of our students, also to have equity in their learning environments. And we're not sure where those learning environments are going to be next year, whether they're still going to be at home or whether they're going to be in a school building. But for us to be able to continue the learning that our students need, we really need to strive to be one-to-one. We know as educators that students at every grade level will lose out academically. But socially, they are missing the end of their year celebrations. And so the isolation and the depression that may bring on to our students, or sadness, we are also trying to work with that with our counselors. We're having our counselors reach out to students on a regular basis. And we are posting things on our website that parents and students can refer to if they need that assistance during this time. In closing our building so quickly on March the 13th, many of our students did not have the opportunity to take all their personal items, and I know that is something that's on many of our parents' minds. How are they going to get those personal items back? We are currently working with our maintenance providers to make a plan as to how these items can be picked up. Those all communications, whether it's the pickup of personal items or the bringing back of devices. This will all be communicated through our website and through our Facebook page and also our EduLink call homes. During this time, I am very pleased that the William Penn School District is serving over 2,000 lunches daily to our students. Since March 16th, we've served over 53,000 meals. We have two main distribution sites, Evans and Penwood Middle School, and we have four satellite sites for our students. We're not sure how this is going to look over the summer. That was a conversation our central administration had this morning. Will these feeding sites continue over the summer? We've always had feeding sites, but usually they have been where our students can come, eat the meals, and then leave. So as soon as we have any guidance from the state or from the federal government how we can continue these feedings, we will also communicate that with our communities. Thank you again, Senator.
Thank you. And our superintendent from Southeast Delta.
Good evening, Senator Williams, Superintendents Height and Harbert, and to the constituents, friends, and supporters of Pennsylvania's 8th Senatorial District and to public education. My name is Yasir Roundtree, and I have the privilege of serving as the Acting Superintendent of Schools for the Southeast Delco School District. Southeast Delco serves Collingdale, Darby Township, Fallcroft, and Sharon Hill. I'm most pleased to have been invited to participate in tonight's telephone town hall and to participate with you in this very important conversation around the COVID-19 novel coronavirus global pandemic and its impact on our community. In Southeast Delco, I've worked with our Board of School Directors, our Assistant Superintendent, Dr. Jeffrey Ryan, our Chief Operating and Financial Officer, Mr. Craig Butler, and our administrators to become COVID-19 ready, and we believe that we were just that as it relates to our efforts to ensure that learning continues, students receive meals as they would if they were in school, and so that stakeholders from our school community continue to be in the loop with the day-to-day changes that come down from Harrisburg, which cause us to adjust our response. Our teachers, led by their principals and assistant principals, with support from Dr. Ryan and I, prepared work for students. Guidance later came down from the Pennsylvania Department of Education that suggested that we not move forward with that plan unless we could assure that barriers to access and equity issues could be addressed for all students. As that guidance was adjusted, we proceeded with making work available to students, both by hard copy and online, based on review and enrichment. This continued until such time the governor decided to close schools for the remainder of the academic year, at which time we, like other school districts from across the Commonwealth, partnered with our local intermediate unit to transition to online learning, if that were not an existing option for our school district. As an under-resourced school district, this option was not initially available to Southeast Delco, as we lacked the infrastructure to move to a full online learning program. However, I'm pleased to report that through collaboration with the intermediate unit, we began the process of selecting online content, registering students and teachers, and organizing, distributing, and loaning out the limited supply devices that we had on hand in district so that our students can continue with learning in this new format. Much as Superintendent Harbert alluded to, with not having sufficient devices for the number of students we educate in our district, which is upward of 4,400, we had to develop a plan to ensure that we could touch as many students and families as we needed to. And so, with a plan of loaning one device per family for families with up to three children, and two devices per family with students with families of four or more children, we were able to loan out 1,848 devices to students and families in our district. Additionally, we are now in the plan instruction phase of our continuity of education plan, and like Superintendent Height stated they are doing in Philadelphia, we began our online instruction today using the platforms provided by PDE, which include Odysseyware for grades K to 5 and Edgenuity for grades 6 through 12. Aside from this very important work, we've continued to ensure that our students receive meals during the time period that they were at home. In March, prior to the closure order, we applied for a waiver from the Pennsylvania Department of Education for a grab-and-go feeding model within our school district. PDE granted our waiver and approved us to operate this model at 6 of our schools, initially with the support of volunteers from our school staffs and from the community. We were able to feed students 5 days per week. I would like to thank our food services and custodial staff, as well as our principals, assistant principals, teachers, school board members, and the elected officials from our community who supported that work day in and day out. With increased health and safety concerns, this has been now scaled back, and we now provide students meals 3 days per week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. However, on Monday and Wednesday, we provide them with enough meals for the following day. On average, we are seeing about 400 students and families across our 6 schools participate in the grab-and-go feeding program. As for next steps, like many districts across the Commonwealth, we are exploring just what the future may look like. Just as we have done throughout this time, how we move forward will be based on guidance provided to us by PDE and other local, state, and federal government entities. Everyone misses their students, and it is our hope that with the glaring, pronounced inequities that were highlighted through this crisis, which is beyond all of our control, all of us, that elected officials from the state and federal government will work together to provide us with the resources that are necessary, needed, and required to provide all of our students with a high-quality education when we return to what we very well may know as our new normal. Before I close, I would like to thank all of the Southeast Delco School District's talented students, hardworking staff, committed families, and interested members of the community at large. Your patience, cooperation, and understanding during what has been a time of unprecedented challenge and continuing uncertainty for all has been incredible. With the ongoing evolution of this global pandemic, none of us knows what is around the corner. But I'll tell you what I know. And what I know is that together, we will make it out of this. And together, we will be stronger coming out of this than we were going into it, as long as each of us does our part. As a final note, as a former school district of Philadelphia principal, I would also like to give my best to all members of Teamsters Local 502, the Commonwealth Association of School Administrators, for your individual and collective efforts to ensure that this does not overcome us and we keep being the advocates and champions we are in our respective communities for our students and families. Your hard work, dedication, and persistence does not go unnoticed, just as I hope that those of the educators working in Southeast Delco and William Penn and everywhere else across the Commonwealth and nation are not either. I'd like to thank Senator Williams for this opportunity, and I'd also like to thank Superintendent Harbert and Superintendent Height for their ongoing collaboration and partnership. Thank you.
Thank you. And so we have calls and questions on the line. Let us be as direct as possible to the questions asked. Some of these will be across county lines or consistent with whoever they are. So all three of you are welcome to answer all these. And I will start calling them out. There are a few folks who are hold on just a minute more. There are two quick questions, though, that we'd like to have direct answers to as quickly as possible. Will the Southeast continue to pay the crossing guards at the end of the year? And when will school buildings be cleaned? If they've already been cleaned, please just elaborate. So in any order, please feel free to answer.
Good evening. Thank you for your question. We are continuing to explore our financial situation to continue payment for our crossing guards and other staff outside of the mandated legislation passed by the Pennsylvania General Assembly and signed into law by Governor Wolf. In addition, throughout this time, our maintenance staff, along with our cleaning.
Doc, we have 20 more half hour. I know So the answer to that is you're figuring out whether you're going to be able to pay them to the end of the year, because we have, like, people on the line that we've got to answer. So the answer to the question is...
I apologize.
That's okay.
Yes.
The answer to the question is yes. Okay.
We are working on it, yes.
Thank you. Dr. Herbert and Dr. Height?
So
This is
Ms. Harbert, and with William Penn, we're also working with our various boroughs to make sure that our crossing guards are paid, and then we are working. Our schools have been cleaned, and maintenance have been working and doing projects ever for the last 6 weeks.
Thank you. Dr. Height?
The crossing guards in Philadelphia are part of the city. They're part of the city department, so I don't have the answer to that question, but they are supervised under the Philadelphia Police Department. With respect to the maintenance and cleanliness, we're doing some projects to address asbestos and lead. All buildings will be sanitized before students return, but we have not begun that process yet.
All right, now we're going to open up the phones for questions. Please be as direct as you can be so that we can maximize the amount of time we have left with these wonderful superintendents. Greg Thompson from Southwest Philadelphia.
Okay, Senator, before we get to Greg, just as a reminder for those that have joined us, because we've had some folks join us as we've gone along here, if you have a question for Senator Williams or any of the superintendents that have joined us here this evening, you can press *3, that's *3 on your phone's keypad. Senator, we'll go to Greg. Greg, go ahead. You're live with Senator Williams and guests.
Senator, thank you so much for the opportunity, and I want you to keep safe. We need you as our public servant, and all the stuff that you're doing for us is wonderful, so please, brother, stay safe. The question that I have for our superintendent for Philadelphia is young people who were falling behind and needed extra support before the crisis hit. Is there any plan to work with them specifically because of their academic failures?
Thank you for the question. The answer is yes, and we are designing which will likely be a remote learning program over the summer for those young people who were already in difficulty of either not passing, not being promoted, or needing additional support.
Thank you, Doc. Anybody else? Please, the other two superintendents, if you have an answer to that, you know, for our county, we'd love to hear it.
William Penn is also will have a summer program, especially something that we're required to do is our extended school year for our students, the special ed students. So that will be going on virtually. We always have had a summer program to restore credits. We will also do that virtually, and we have plans in place as to how we will meet the students where they are at the beginning of next year with the learning gaps that they may have.
Thank you.
Thank you. From Southeast Delco, we are also planning to have summer programs. These also appear to be virtually at this time.
Thank you. We have a question from Yaden, but this question that the person's going to ask probably will apply to all districts. So Ms. Jones from Yaden. Ms. Taylor. Apologize.
Okay. Senator, let's go to Renita from Yaden. Renita, go ahead. You're live with Senator Williams and guests.
Hi. Thank you, Senator. I think it's Ms. Harbert.
Yes.
Mrs. Harbert. Hi. I guess it's still based on the questions that was already answered, but my son is autistic, and he's really failing right now in this Google Classroom. I heard you mention ESY. Up until then, what does he do? Because I am in home care, so I'm not home all day. So what does he do in the meantime?
So it's Ms. Taylor, right?
Yes.
Taylor, I'm hoping and I would really like for you to reach out to me tomorrow via email. You can find it on the website. I'm hoping that your son's case manager has reached out to you and
has
set up some sort of learning plan with your child, and we will do the best that we can do to offer him what we can through the online, and hopefully we have had some online face-to-face, lessons with him through his teacher. So those are things that I hope we have in place. I would really would like to talk to you more if you would reach out to me tomorrow, and we make sure that our special ed director is aware of any situation that may not be going well. But there will be ESY for our students. I think it comes back to we will probably still be very virtual at that point. We are not going to be back into our buildings by then. We are going to extend our ESY by a week or more because we know that our students need more than what they would if it had been a regular school year.
Thank you.
Dr. Height or Dr. Roundtree?
So we're doing something very similar to William Penn. We will be extending ESY. We also have case managers and specialists who are reaching out to the families directly, and in some cases are able to virtually support the young people and their family member. This sounds like a unique set of circumstances, and I'm pretty sure we will have individuals like that experiencing the same thing here in Philadelphia, and we will be matching the individuals who work with those children and manage those cases with those families.
Thank you. Superintendent Roundtree?
Thank you. Southeast Delco's special education team has actively engaged students and families to monitor progress and to provide support as needed. They will continue to do this moving forward. If you have any problems or issues, please reach out to your child's special education case manager.
Thank you. And we have a practical question from my friend Ronald Waters from Southwest Philadelphia, Couch Creek.
Okay. Ron, go ahead. You're live with Senator Williams and guests.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Williams, and thank you all the superintendents that are on the line, even the acting superintendent. I really appreciate what you do. I have a question. This, I guess, will be for Dr. Height. In the when the city closed down because of COVID-19, took down all the basketball courts, the nets at least, and the hoops. Did the school district do the same thing in the schoolyards?
We did, if we didn't take them down, we actually locked the gates by the order of the city. As a matter of fact, so if there are courts that we have open that should be closed, if you could reach out to my office tomorrow, we could get that. We could get that taken care of.
Yeah. I got a complaint today, Senator, from the neighborhood about Turner School. So and somebody pulled out a gun over there, and everybody was scattering. And you know that they had a lot of trauma over there already.
So, right.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like a bad problem. Yeah. All right. Thanks, Ron. Appreciate it. Also, we have a question from, I'm sorry, just see some. Okay. Robert Wooders.
All right. Senator, let's go to Robert. Robert, go ahead. You're live with Senator Williams and guests.
Yeah, thank you, Senator, for having this beautiful setup. My question has to do with the districts. Is there any level of the academia that differs from district to district? Reason I'm asking this is because I realize Philadelphia is number one in poverty, and poverty is directly connected to how we were educated. Many children have graduated a lot of these high schools with diplomas as receipts for educational services never truly rendered. That to me is crippling for a lot of people who are out there who just don't pay attention to people that can't read, write, count, or spell properly. I pay attention to these people and I try to help them as much as I can because I went to Barrett Junior High School where Dr. King spoke in 1967. The last thing he said in his speech was, "Now go and learn, babies learn, so you can earn, babies earn." Well, how can you be expected to pay these taxes and the rise of these taxes if you didn't learn? How can you earn? These people that are coming here with gentrification, it's really turning things upside down. for the long-term residents that have been in their homes 30, 40, 50 years and their families. I just think it's horrible, and it all boils down to how we were educated.
So, Mr. Woodard, what's your question for
the question is the districts. Do they differ as it relates to the academic levels in which these districts have? Are they different? Some places get better educations than others.
Okay.
I'd like to answer. This is Mr. Roundtree from Southeast Delco. I'd like to answer first if I'm given permission to do so.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I believe that each of us, Dr. Height, Ms. Harbert, and myself, we share one common goal, and that's ensuring that all of the students in our district have equitable access to a high-quality education. For some, those are meaningless buzzwords, but for us and our staffs, this is what we live and we breathe. In order for that to become a reality, we will continue to need an investment in resources from our local, state, and federal officials. I thank people like Senator Williams and other senators and representatives from across the Commonwealth that worked with us to get us what we need or closer to what we need. But we all have to stay focused that we will only get what we need by working together. So I hope that with your question, you will partner with us to advocate for what it is we need so that our students have the education that you're asking about.
Well, actually, I'm a silent partner. I've been partnering for the last 30 years. I'm not just talking about you guys because you're doing a great job as it relates to your jobs and what you have. You know and I know there was not even a principal that was black until 1967, 60, around that time. And I got that information from one of my good friends, which is a Tuskegee Airman. These are people who make it clear that this issue of how we are looked at as it relates to education definitely makes a difference in how you're going to be viewed for the rest of your life. So it's very important to me not to blame you guys because you're doing a good job right now, but this started way before you, and someone has to ask the question or it'll continue to go on.
Thank you, Mr. Woodard. We're going to have to move on. Folks, when you pose the question, and you, I'm going to say this, please, when they pose the question, let it shut down, let them answer the question so we can move on so other people can get in. Because we have precious time left. Michael Holman is next.
Okay. Michael, go ahead. You're live with Senator Williams and guests.
Yes, I'm calling and do foster care and bad treatment we get on foster care. It was so, my care was so vulgar that I got myself emancipated and I left at 15 because foster care, it's once you're 18 years old, they don't care how you get out there, you know. You got to have some kind of education, some kind of program, some kind of religion, see.
Mr. Holman, I'm going to have to interrupt you. Mr. Holman, I'm going to have to interrupt you. What's your question?
Do teachers in certain parts, like public schools, like if a kid is having problems with a teacher, do teachers come out to the home and say, well, what's the problem? You know, why is your kid, you know, not working up to par with, they know he's a very potential child with good potentials. You know, teacher believe him. Like, a good teacher can go up to somebody's parents and say, hey, this kid is not a bad kid.
So, Mr. Holman, your question is, Mr. Holman, I apologize. Your question is, foster children in regards to identifying, I saw the question that you posed. I don't know if it's the same one. What is out there for foster children in regards to identification, et cetera, once they age out of the system?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Holman. My superintendents, can you chime in, please?
Yeah, so I'll chime in Philadelphia because we have a pretty significant work-ready program. And so there are multiple opportunities that are available. One is a program through the workforce development that we worked with. They work with young people from ages 16 to 26, and it prepares them with the skills to actually go out and get a job. In the School District of Philadelphia, no matter what your age is, and if you have not finished with a diploma, individuals can come back and work towards a diploma at no cost, and that's whatever age they are, and that's even through this virtual environment. So there are opportunities, and in addition, the final point is that we also now employ social workers that are also members of the Department of Behavioral Health, and we coordinate with the city services to make sure that we're responding to those families and those, more importantly, those young people who are in foster care.
Thank you, Dr. Haidt. My other folks, any other input?
So at William Penn, we have several safety nets for our students also. We also have social workers. We have a transition coordinator who helps work with the students to get into options and out into the workforce. And we also have our students who will work half a day and go to school half a day, and we set up those arrangements for our students. We only have two social workers, but we work very hard with our counselors and the whole system to make sure that students do not fall through the gaps. Sometimes, though, when you look at foster students, they are students who are from one district to another. And I think one of the things that's helping is that we can now continue to keep those students in our system if we find that it's of the best interest of the students.
Thank you. Any more input?
For Southeast Delco, we recognize that this is an area of need, and in looking at our future direction, we will devote more resources to being able to work with these most vulnerable students.
Thank you. Rosa Jones.
Okay. Senator, let's go to Rosa. Rosa, go ahead. You're live with Senator Williams and Guest.
Good evening, Senator Williams. My question is this. What is their procedure in grading these students? I'm in the William Penn District. What is your procedure? How would you grade these students when they get their report cards? How would it be graded?
Thanks, Mr. Jones. And everybody can please chime in on this one.
So, Ms. Jones, it really depends on what level your student. At our elementary level, we are looking at, especially this last quarter, quarter three, they should have had grades based on some of the grades they completed prior to March 13th. But quarter four, we are looking at students who are participating in the online instruction and completing assignments. We are looking at they are doing at least 60 to 75% of the work. We are really trying to give the benefit of the doubt to the students. So we are going to look at students being complete or incomplete in their progress at the end of the year. That's elementary. At our middle and high school, we will still be assigning grades, but a lot of those grades will be based on participation on the online coursework that they're doing and completion of assignments. We know that there are many students right now who may not be engaged in their learning, so we are using our counselors and social workers to reach out to those students as to see why, whether they need devices or there is something else going on as to why they're not participating in work. So we're not, it can't be the same that as it was when we were in the traditional school. So online, we have a flexible learning plan, and in that, it does describe exactly how we will be monitoring and checking the progress of our students.
In Philadelphia, we extended the third marking period, and you heard Ms. Hubbard talk about the fourth quarter. In Philadelphia, we just extended the third marking period because that's what we were in when we went out. And so students who complete assignments would then receive a grade because they completed the assignment. Grades will be more participation than anything, and the grades are used to enhance a child's opportunity to recover a credit, to pass, or to graduate. We just want to make sure that they're not used in a punitive manner.
And that's exactly the way William Penn is also.
Good evening again. For Southeast Delco, we extended the third marking period, which will conclude at the end of this week. Starting next week, we will be officially into the fourth marking period. Fourth marking period grades will be based on a pass-fail system, and the intent of the pass-fail system is not to penalize any student who has any sort of barrier to participating in the online learning phase that we are in now.
Thank you. There are a few quick things I want to tell folks. We have about 12 more minutes where we can ask questions, so please, if you're doing great, ask them directly. Tonight is about education, specifically public education. Our superintendents have provided time. There are a few questions that I see that don't relate to that, but I'll answer them very quickly. For the people who have not received their stimulus checks, what do they do? Sylvia Gelman of South Philadelphia. One, call my office, 215-492-2980. Each person's situation may be different. Some may not have even applied, and I'm not sure what yours is. Your income may exceed the amount. I'm not sure what it is, but 215-492-2980. People from my office check that number every day, all day long, and we follow up. For driver's license exams, will there be safety precautions involved? I do not have the answer to that tonight. Miss Rosalie, I think is the name that I see. But again, 215-492-2980. We will follow up and get you an answer to that question. So thank you for asking me as well. Eddie Jones from West Philadelphia.
Okay. Eddie, go ahead. You're live with Senator Williams and guests.
Yes, hi. My name is Betty Jones. I'm a block captain. I just would like to know, this is for any of you superintendents, are the children, is public school and parochial schools are going to remain closed until the end of the term? And if so, how are they going to receive their report cards?
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Jones.
Hi, Anthony.
In Philadelphia, we're going to be mailing the report cards out at the end of the year, and it's going to be the average of the three terms instead of the four quarters. And the schools in Philadelphia will be, well, all schools across the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, parochial, private, and public, and charter are all closed through the end of the school year.
I think that's true for everyone on the line, correct, superintendents?
That's correct.
Correct.
Thank you. Damon Roberts?
Okay. Damon, go ahead. You're live with Senator Williams, I guess.
Great. Thank you, Senator and superintendents. So for those students who don't have transportation and who need school meals, are school buses still being provided for them? And if so, is social distancing being enforced on the bus?
So in William Penn, how we are handling it, we have two main sites where we are distributing. We have Evans Elementary and Penwood Middle School where people can come pick them up. We do have someone from our transportation and from our Aramark Food Services who are taking food, you know, our meals to four satellite sites, which are in the communities themselves, some at the schools, some at the churches, and some at even people's homes where they are distributing those lunches to the students in their community. So all of the students are within walking distance of any of these sites.
In Philadelphia, we also have, in addition to the 49 sites that that young people can, where people can go to pick up meals, there are also five PHA sites, and I want to say another 19 or 20 city-run sites, in addition to the Salvation Army and other entities, churches, or places of worship. We are delivering, but not using school buses, but we're delivering some meals to families who cannot get to any of the sites. And so we're doing that on a case-by-case basis, only if the student is ambulatory and the parents have no way to get to a site to pick up the meals.
For Southeast Delco, there's not transportation available to distribute meals. The meals are available at 4 of our 6 schools now, just because 2 of the schools are in close proximity. And when I say close proximity, I mean literally across the parking lot from one another. So they are available at those 4 sites. And for those students and families where there is a known need, where there is a clear barrier that exists for them to get the meals, we do have administrators and others who volunteer to deliver meals to those homes.
Thank you. Sandra Ford.
Sandra, go ahead. You're live with Senator Williams and guests.
Yes, my question is for Dr. Height. As a retired educator, is there a need for substitute teachers or supports for small group instruction as the students are learning virtually?
Thank you for the question, Ms. Ford. Not at the moment, because we have other staff in schools that we are also who are also able to connect with students. Nurses are, our guidance counselors are, and we have other classroom support staff that we have allowed. We've also provided them with technology so they can connect with students as well. So not at the moment do we need additional support. But we will likely need that support as we move into the next school year.
Thank you. There is a question that was posed earlier by Ed Brown. He left it with us. And I'll just read it. Since most districts are doing virtual graduations, are the Philly, William Penn, and Southeast Delco districts following the Upper Darby School District's lead and planning in-person celebrations in the future with the COVID-19 restrictions, when the COVID-19 restrictions are lifted?
I'd like to answer that one. We have a class of 2020 Senior Activities Committee. We had our first meeting last week. This is Southeast Delco. We had our first meeting last week, and we talked about options for the future for prom and graduation. So I wouldn't say following their lead per se, but we are engaging our community in what is best for our context.
And William Penn.
Same holds true. Same in Philadelphia. Yes. We'll have in person once that's made available, but it's going to be dependent on the school, because they each have events that are planned. And so they are planning events as far away in some cases as next year, or in the fall when schools return.
Thank you. We are quickly running out of time, and you all have asked some really great questions. Hopefully it will help other parents as well. And so we'll get into many questions as we can. But I want to assure you, if you do not get your question answered tonight, we will please leave it here. Your phone number is with us. We will try to get back to you and get a response to a question that may have been posted but not been able to respond to. Sharon Randall.
Okay. Sharon, go ahead. You're live with Senator Williams and guests.
Hello. How are you? Good afternoon. I'm very appreciative of this process. Thank you all so much. The question I had, it was regarding the seventh graders who are preparing to eventually apply to high schools. Supposedly, seventh grade is a very important year for them. They're supposed to take their PSSAs and have their grades and attendance, et cetera, judged in the selection process for high schools. So my question is, what's going to happen now? Will those PSSAs be rescheduled? Is that particular process going to be waived? I mean, suppose their grades suffer throughout this process. How will they be judged for high school selection at this point?
Yeah, so we're still working on a process to judge students. We have already moved attendance as a criteria and naturally PSSAs as a criteria, so we may need to look at lower grade PSSAs as well, because we have some information on the students. The bigger challenge are the third graders who don't have any assessments, and with the PSSAs not scheduled, we don't have any way to determine where those children are. But with the seventh graders, they have earlier PSSA results, but we're not going to use the seventh grade results or attendance, and we're going to come up with other criteria that we're going to use and apply across all schools so that all students have an equal chance.
Anyone else want to jump in?
That was a specific question for Philadelphia, because in William Penn, you have only one middle and one high school.
Got it. Thank you. Thank you very much. Vanessa Miller.
Okay. Vanessa, go ahead. You're live with Senator Williams and Guest.
Hello, everyone. Let's start with the outbreak. Many years ago, we had an outbreak of tuberculosis. Social distancing was put in place immediately because that was a lung airborne infectious disease. Then the testing, I was wondering, why are we not doing finger sticks for folks who have pre-existing conditions that may put them in higher risk than those that may have one or two symptoms that are mild, and you do the mouth swabs and the nasal swabs. On the education, critical thinking education has to be put on board so the children will learn how to reason with a problem that's put before them instead of acting out emotionally. You have the Home and School Association. If they go out to the home to see what's going on with the child, they can also...
Ms. Miller.
Okay,
yeah,
that was a lot.
Left. No, it's okay, but I know you were waiting a while. I apologize, but what's your question so we can get it in?
Okay, why aren't these things being done? A partnership with Home and School Association, County Child Protective Services, in the absence of a child. Finger sticks over mouth.
Ms. Miller,
I'm sorry.
School District, we have partnered with our Home and School. In fact, the second week, students were out of school. We had... live meetings or Zoom meetings with our parents where they could call in with questions, and we worked on plans where we could work together to make sure that our students were successful. So we have done that with both our elementary and our secondary home and school folks.
Anyone else want to jump in?
I was going to say it's similar in Philadelphia. We had about 200 volunteers the week after we closed. Many of them were from a home and school organization, as with many other organizations. In addition, we have meetings that are town halls, but they're virtual town halls that allow individuals to ask questions just like we're doing here. I don't know about the finger sticks, Ms. Miller. That's beyond my area of expertise, and I'll leave that to the health professionals, but those are the individuals that advise us on what we could use. Well, actually, they don't advise us on what we could use. You must have the symptoms in order to be tested, I know, in Philadelphia.
All right. We have about 5 minutes left. We're going to have Ms. Mamie Young.
Okay. Okay, we're going to go to Mamie. Go ahead. You're live with Senator Williams and Guest.
Good evening, everyone. Senator, I want to thank you for all you're doing in order to inform the citizens. And also, I have a friend for Dr. Height in Philadelphia. She is a member of my church, and she is a crossing guard, and she is getting paid while she's on leave. And also, I would
thank
like
you.
About the you're welcome. I'd like to ask about, is there any way that air conditioning, could it be put on those grids that young people are being apprentices for learning how to install them on the roofs? Maybe they could
solar panels. You mean using the solar panels to power
the
air conditioning?
Yes, the solar panels.
Yes, the answer is yes, and we have a program in two schools. One is at Ben Franklin High School, and the other one is at Frankfort High School. And it's a brand-new program to teach our young people how to install solar panels. It was already a program at Randolph High School, but now we have that now at, I said two, but it's actually three high schools. And those young people work while they learn. They're paid to do that. And it's becoming quite a popular program. It's harder to do virtually now since we're out, but once we return to school, I'm sure we'll have young people who are equally interested in returning.
And I'm going to respond for my folks in Delco, because I know you guys need more resources. Not like you wouldn't want to do these programs, but you need resources to support them. So we get it, and it's going to be a struggle this year, as all of us know. We have about a minute and a half left, 2 minutes left. So I'm going to allow for closing comments from my superintendents, and I'll close out. Please, if you could leave behind any additional information for folks that have specific questions for the district they leave in, what way they go about doing that. Is it by phone? Is it by computer? So thank you very much. We'll start with Southeast Delco and work our way back with this time.
Good evening. For all who participated this evening, I would again like to thank you for your participation and for the wonderful questions that you posed to us. Certainly, as this is an evolving situation, there are things that we may not be thinking of because we're focused on educating children. However, we will use the questions that you pose to us to inform our next steps. In the event that you have additional questions, please do not hesitate to email me directly or to email our school board. My email address is yroundtree@sedelco.org. The school board can alternately be reached at board@sedelco.org. Thank you again.
In the William Penn School District, you can always reach me through jharbert@wpsd.k12.pa.us. We also have a website, and we have a link there where you can ask questions. It is monitored by one of my central office administrators, and we will respond to your questions at any time. You can always reach out to your principals or your teachers, and those questions will get to us. Thank you very much for this evening, and thank you, Senator Williams.
Thank you. And before you leave, let us make sure we recognize she has been here for about 4 or 5 years, I think 4 years now. And
yeah,
so she's
been in the district, Senator, 11 years, but go ahead.
11 years, but superintendent four, right?
That's correct, yes.
Yeah, but I don't know what she called herself now, but, you know, she comes from the South. She's worked up North, so she's retiring at the end of this. And we want to thank you for your service. Tough times, good times, hard times. You've been there with all of us supporting our children, and we know you really do care about them and love them, regardless of the fact that we're Yankees and you're not, but that's okay. but bless you, and we hope you safe travels in your retirement. Sorry I had to end, you know, in this way, but we couldn't all get together, but we really do appreciate your service.
Thank you very much.
Yep. Dr. Hite.
And in Philadelphia, and I actually share the same comments to congratulate and thank Ms. Hobart at William Penn. Thank you for your years of service there and what you do on behalf of children. Philadelphia, the best way to get information is at philasd.org. Our whole homepage is nothing but COVID-19 information on FAQs, Chromebooks, grab and go, learning materials. You can email any question that you have to COVID-19info@philasd.org. And we also have a hotline that individuals can use, 215-400-5300. That hotline is also in 10 languages. And so those are ways you can reach us here at the School District of Philadelphia.
So for those who stay on the line, we know we couldn't get to all your questions tonight, but please, your phone number is seen. We will return. We will respond to the questions that are posed tonight and do our best to get answers to questions that you have posed. There are some really great ones that are still out there. I see one, about an alliance with AARP. There are those who are still concerned about access to the internet and what they can do. Do teachers, are they required to check homework and respond to those corrections? There are all sorts of common sense questions from all of us that we want to have answers to, and we want to do our best to accommodate that. Again, if you did not get the phone number information with regard to your respective district and superintendent, please call my office, 215-492-2980. 215-492-2980, and have a safe week. And our prayers are with all of us that we continue as we transition out of this pandemic into some other challenges we will face. And so God bless you. To my superintendents, thank you so much for the time spent this evening answering these questions across the 8th Senatorial District. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Again, just as a reminder, Senator Williams' phone number, his district office phone number is 215-492-2980, or his website is senatoranthonywilliams.com. You've been a wonderful audience, and enjoy the rest of your evening.